Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Are you ready for the Friday edition of the Brett Winterbull Show? You are ready because you are here. I am Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110-993 WBT, our number 704-570-1110. Reach out on Twitter at Winterbull Show or at the Facebook page at the Brett Winterbull Show. Holy cow! There is so much cool stuff happening in the country today. And look, I'm going to do this again for the second day in a row. No, I'm not talking about chicken cutting. I'm not going to talk about that. That was yesterday with Matt Doherty, the coach. I'm going to say it again. I don't care about Liz Cheney. Do you care about Liz Cheney? If you care about Liz Cheney, you are in a very, very small minority. You should be caring about jobs. You should be caring about the fact that the federal government is actually subsidizing unemployment. Like, they're not even embarrassed by it. What took place early today was disgraceful. Now, I'm somebody, I'll take you behind the curtain a little bit. I am somebody who, I get up early. I don't stay up especially late, but I get up very early, and I start to kind of digest the ebb and the flows of the news cycle. And by the news cycle, what I mean by that is I consume a whole lot of regular run-of-the-mill news stuff, right? Your Fox, your messy NBC, your CNN, because I want to see what the dominant talking points are going to be of the day. But I spend a ton of time in two other locations. I spend a ton of time over on the business channels, you know, Bloomberg, CNBC, Cheddar, all that sort of stuff. And I spend time over at the sports channels as well, because I just want to be well-rounded and understand all the different stuff that's moving out there, competing for our attention. And so when I got up early this morning, it was dark outside, and I put the business channels on, and I saw the numbers that were being promised for the jobs numbers. And I said, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. I bought into the mania. At the low end, they said it was going to be 700,000 jobs created in April. At the low end. And people were scoffing at that. At the high end, there was one outfit that said it could go to 2.1 million new jobs in April. So the middle number was a million. And people were excited. The champagne was going to get popped. And a funny thing happened on the way to that number. On the way to that number, it didn't materialize. And I've got a clip. TJ, I want to go to cut number. Sorry, I hate to do this on the air like in real time. Cut number 33. This sums up beautifully how the jobs number played. You're going to hear a guy by the name of Steve Leisman. He's over at CNBC. He gets the numbers in. He can't believe how bad the numbers are. Cannot believe how awful these numbers are. He's actually trying to see if it's a misprint. And this is when you started to hear the air come out of the balloon. Go.
Rick, we'll get to you. I don't want to. Let's get to Steve because he's got the number. It's okay. Good. 1.08. Steve, the number.
Wow. It just came across. Give me a second here. We have the number here. Just came across. Sorry about Rick's that. It came across Rick. Very quickly here. It looks like 266,000. It looks like it was a big disappointment at 266, but maybe I have that wrong. Let me double check the Bureau website here. 1 second. Yes, 266 is correct. Unemployment change is 6.1%. So we have some issues here.
266,000.
Long-term unemployed.
Big revision.
Yes, that's what I'm.
Last month, 770 versus 916. Yes. Minus.
Rick. Okay. So let me explain to you what you just heard. You heard 266,000 jobs, not 700,000, not a million jobs, not 2.1 million jobs, 266,000 jobs. And then they revised last month's number, the March number, they revised down from 900,000, which they were rounding up to a million, down to 700,000 jobs. Look, you don't have to look at these numbers as good or bad. They're just it's like taking a temperature. It's like taking the temperature of the economy in the country. And what is happening is you are seeing Bidenomics performing exactly as it should, which is we pay people not to work. Not only do we pay people not to work, but we open the border and we bring in, what's the number there? I haven't seen the number reported out. Let's just say we're probably good for 400,000 people that across the border since Joe Biden signed that executive order. And oh, by the way, you're not creating jobs because remember, he whacked 100,000 jobs on the Keystone XL pipeline, and he whacked the jobs that were building the border wall. So this is Bidenomics. If you went into the ballot box, or you did your ballot and you gave it to a harvester, you know what the harvester would be, TJ? The harvester would be Metallica's Harvester of Sorrow. But if you went in and filled out your ballot and you said, I'm getting rid of bad orange man, this is what you were trading for. This is what you were trading for. Now, admittedly, I had Steve Moore on yesterday. Let me say that properly. I had Steve Moore, comma, on yesterday, because it sounded like I just said Steve Moore on yesterday. I had Steve Moore on the show yesterday, who was one of the White House economic advisors for Trump. And he and I were like, we're probably expecting a million jobs to come in for the month. It didn't materialize because Joe Biden, with that stimulus money, on top of the stimulus money, is subsidizing people to sit at home. And do you know, there's a dirty little secret here. We're going to unpack this all hour. Believe me, I will get into Henry McMaster saying he's not taking any more federal money after June 30th because the unemployment rate in South Carolina is 5%. And people can't get hired because they're getting paid by Biden to sit home. But the dirty little secret is the women in the workforce. Do you remember the story at the beginning of the week that I told you about with the dirty, filthy collusion between the CDC and Randy Weingarten's American Federation of Teachers? The AFT, and I know we don't have unions here, so don't confuse me. We don't have unions here in North or South Carolina. But here's the deal. They set the tone for the reopens around the country. And so if the AFT and the CDC collude to keep the schools closed, that means women who are the primary caregivers at home are not able to go back to work in the way that they should. So what you're doing is you're tanking out the economy and you're hurting women the most of all. We'll talk about all this straight ahead and plenty of room for.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Your phone calls. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Oftentimes I'll be asked, why do we play so much rock and roll as our bumps? And as TJ knows, it's for the roofers. The roofers are out there working, and they like to jam. TJ points out that Harvester of Sorrow has no bass in it. That's okay. There are plenty of other songs with bass in it. Hey, this quick little factoid for you to bring along your daily trek. Did you know 70% of U.S. social media users never or rarely post or share about political social issues? Only 9% of adult social media users say they often post or share things about political or social issues on social media. That's according to the Pew Research Center survey of U.S. adults conducted September 8th to the 13th, 2020. That's some dated information there. I'm sorry, but some 70% of social media users say they never or rarely post political stuff. I don't know, you post political stuff out there on the socials? Most of the people I follow are posting tons of political stuff, including somebody who posted this. A Soros-backed magazine is pushing for 5 new states to end the whiteness of government. Carl Weiderquist, a professor of philosophy at Georgetown University, Qatar, wrote a piece that is saying essentially what needs to happen is the United States needs to add 5 new states to end the whiteness of American the American Congress. Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., the U.S. Virgin Islands, American Samoa, and the Mariana Islands. Okay. So that's what we're working on. That's what we're working on. You know, we're posting social political stuff, and that's the big push. So on this jobs number, and I certainly want to invite you to be a part of the discussion, one of the possible causes of the severe miss, this is from Tim Carney writing over at Breitbart, one of the possible causes of the severe miss in the April jobs numbers is likely the fact that nearly half of U.S. school-age children still cannot attend school for full-time in-person instruction. And look, it's getting awfully late in the game. It's May 7th. It's May 7th, which means school is going to end within a month. So as John Hilzenrath from the Wall Street Journal noted earlier today, maybe the conversation shouldn't be, are we going to open the schools, but are we going to leave them open during the summer so these kids can catch up? Because they're essentially down. They're essentially down at least a year worth of education, except for the private schools and the parochial schools. The evidence for this comes from data about women on whom childcare burdens tend to fall in the workforce. The number of women age 16 and over who are employed shrank by 8,000 in April. That follows the growth of nearly 600,000 in March. The number of adult women age 20 and over working shrank by 83,000. That is not something you would expect in a rapidly growing economy, and that is because we do not have a rapidly growing economy. We could if you opened up the schools and you opened up the communities, but the Democrat lockdowns continue to wreak havoc on your prosperity and on your business. I mean, look, we have to lay the blame where it belongs. By and large, the lockdowns are a byproduct of the Democratic governors and state leaders in states, North Carolina, Roy and Mandy, Andy Cuomo in New York, Phil Murphy in New Jersey, the Gretch that stole prosperity there in Michigan, who flies on private jets when she tells nobody else to travel. Gavin Newsom, my Lord, I mean, the man is a walking disaster area. Every one of these people have locked their economies down, every one of them. And which is why I want to play this clip for you. This is Marty Walsh. Marty Walsh is a name you should know. He happens to be your Secretary of Labor. And Marty Walsh was making the rounds, talking to people about this economy and these jobs numbers and all that sort of stuff. And he made a stop over at Fox Business just after 9 o'clock this morning. This is cut number 34. Listen to what he's saying about this jobs miss and the economy itself. Go.
Under normal circumstances, 266,000 jobs added to our economy would be a great number. Unfortunately, we're not living in normal times. When you look at where we're headed in this country, we're headed in the right direction. The last 3 months, if you average the last 3 months, we've added 500,000 jobs per month, over 1.5 million jobs added in our economy the last 3 months.
Where are they?
Compared to the previous three, where we added about 60,000 per month.
Where are they?
We still have ways to go. There's no question about it.
Where are the
jobs? The numbers today show that. There was some bright sides in this report as well. It showed that more people looked for work in the month of April than the previous months. And we saw the issue, the area of hospitality, which has been hit really hard during the pandemic. Hospitality and leisure, which includes restaurants, have the biggest gain. So there's some real bright spots as we move forward here.
Hospitality and leisure, that's code for something. And I'll tell you when we get back. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
At 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull, monitoring closely what's going on 77, south and north, 82, 83, backing up. As you're hearing from Boomer Von Cannon, we'll keep you up to date. I'm going to be with you until 7 o'clock because I'm going to be in for Mark Garrison on Charlotte at 6. We're taking your phone calls all along the way at 704-570-1110. And if it's been an issue this week, it's certainly fair game. We'll talk about it. If you really want to talk about Liz Cheney, I guess I'll take your call, but I don't think it matters a hill of beans when it comes to our freedom and our economy. I played a clip for you on the way out. In that last segment, and I want to reset it because I want the folks who have joined us now getting into their cars heading home to hear this clip about the unemployment number and about the jobs creation number. This is Marty Walsh. He's the Secretary of Labor. He's on Fox Business with Stuart Varney, and he goes to explain what's going on with the jobs number. Go.
Under normal circumstances, 266,000 jobs added to our economy would be a great number. Unfortunately, we're not living in normal times. When you look at where we're headed in this country, we're headed in the right direction. The last 3 months, if you average the last 3 months, we've added 500,000 jobs per month, over 1.5 million jobs added in our economy the last 3 months, compared to the previous three where we added about 60,000 per month. But we still have ways to go. There's no question about it. The numbers today show that. There were some bright sides in this report as well. It showed that more people looked for work in the month of April than the previous months. And we saw the issue, the area of hospitality, which has been hit really hard during the pandemic. Hospitality and leisure, which includes restaurants, have the biggest gain. So there's some real bright spots as we move forward here.
Okay. So what is hospitality and leisure? What's he saying? Hospitality and leisure in New York City, hospitality and leisure in Michigan, hospitality and leisure in Los Angeles or San Francisco. No. See, what that is that's a code word. That's a code. Remember, they used to say all the time, that's a dog whistle. That's dog whistle. That's a code word. That's called Florida. And I'll add on Texas. And I'll add on South Carolina and Georgia, and I'll add on, to an extent, North Carolina. But really, it's Florida, because Florida's open. I went to CPAC. I was wide open in Orlando. SeaWorld was open. Disney was open. Restaurants were open. I wore my mask like a dutiful, you know, person should. But they want to claim credit for this. This is pretty good. Oh, leisure and hospitality is on fire because Florida is open. Spring break happened. Where's the super spreader events from spring break? Where were the super spreader events from the rioting down in Miami Beach? Back to a month and a half ago, where's the super? Hey, TJ, where's that super spreader event from that massive fight that took place, that UFC event? Where's the super spreader from the Texas Rangers filling the stadium? We were told this is going to be a recipe for death. People are going to die. If they were all dying, I mean, my gosh, Fredo Cuomo and Messi NBC be going wall to wall with all the people dying, wouldn't they? The super spreaders are going to kill us. Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC, who answers only to Joe Biden and the teachers union, they would be all over it on TV, but they're not, are they? Because Florida's open. DeSantis understands that. But here comes Joe Biden. Comes now Joe Biden, as they would write in a pleading if you were filing a lawsuit. So comes now Joe Biden, cut number 32. He's reacting to the jobs report. And this is a guy who will take failure and declare it as victory, because that's really all he's got. Cut 32.
We should be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But when we passed the American Rescue Plan, I want to remind everybody, it was designed to help us over the course of a year, not 60 days, a year. Mm-hmm. We never thought that after the first 50 or 60 days, everything would be fine. Today, there's more evidence that our economy is moving in the right direction. But it's clear we have a long way to go.
We have a long way to go, which means we need more money from China. $6 trillion would be great. Listen to what he just said, though, right? Oh, we knew this wasn't good. This could take a year to clean this mess up. We need a year to fix this. You know, you had 8 years of Obama-Biden. And the economy consistently underperformed under Obama-Biden because they were subsidizing poverty by doing payouts and offering more and more stuff. You keep offering more and more money for people not to go to work, and this is what you're going to get. So here's Janet Yellen, who used to be the Fed chair, who is now the Secretary of the Treasury, perfectly mimicking Joe Biden's words, cut 34. Cut 33.
We knew it would be a long, road back to recovery. That's why the legislation provided lasting support rather than just a few months of relief. Mm-hmm. We knew this would not be a 100-day battle. Mm-hmm. And today's jobs report underscores the long-haul climb back to recovery.
So it's a long haul. It's going to take forever. It's a tough situation. We don't know what we're doing. So you only add 266,000 jobs. You have a revision down for last month from 1 million to 700,000 jobs. I do not take any pleasure in pointing out the spaghetti stain on Joe Biden's economic shirt. I don't take any pleasure in that at all. I want the economy to succeed. I don't care who the president is in that regard. But this is not the answer. Pumping money into it is not the answer. When we come back, I'm going to
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'll give you the proof on this. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. So I want to close the loop on this, and I am going to the phones here right away. So if you're on hold, stay there. I'm going to come to you. I see Edwin's in queue. I'll come to him, plus everybody else that we got time for. All right, so how do we know that the blame lies on the government paying people to not go to work? Here's how you know this. There's a great website. I recommend it highly. It is called Trading, like we're trading baseball cards. It's tradingeconomics.com. All it is economic statistics. So this is how we know that the economy is functioning as long as the government doesn't subsidize unemployment, meaning paying you not to go to work. Average hourly earnings for all employees on U.S. private non-farm payrolls went up by 21 cents, 0.7% over the month of April. So do you know the average hourly earnings in our country right now is $31.17. It's $31.17. Okay? So that's how we know that there's a market for people to go to work. Because if your wages went up 21 cents, and that's spread across the economy, if your wages went up 21 cents, it means that companies are saying, hey, we got to raise pay to become attractive to people who may be interested in coming to work. What we're doing is, well, I'll let Edwin tell you. Edwin, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
So Bernie Madoff has met his match in Joe Biden and his We Hate America White House. It's the perfect scam, Brett, because Joe Biden pays people to stay at home,
right,
not to work.
Right.
He uses your money to do it. It's brilliant.
And here's the deal. Because he controls the printing press, right? It's the federal government. He's actually bidding against Edwin and Brett if we're running businesses. He's bidding against us. He's giving more money to these people so they don't have any motivation to come and work for us until at least September. It's crazy.
Infertility. He can keep printing money. It'll never end.
That's right. You are.
The grave.
You're 100% right, Edwin. Great analysis. That's what you have to understand, folks. So think, you go to hire somebody under a normal circumstance. Maybe they're deciding between two different jobs, right? Okay, I'm going to work at your restaurant, or I'm going to go work over at this fast food place. And they say, well, okay, you're going to pay me $17 an hour to be a cook in the restaurant. Those guys are going to pay me $16 an hour, but I only got to work 4 days a week. So I think I may want that job instead of you. And here comes Joe Biden, ready to rock and roll for you. And he's going to bid against both of you. Both of you. Henry McMaster is the governor of South Carolina. He came out today and said, enough. Basta. Enough. We're not doing this any longer. I'm giving the federal government notice that we're not taking the $300 a week extra that's going to be doled out effective June 30th, because we are having a problem with our employers in the state of South Carolina getting people to work. And do you know who really ends up paying for this? Is you, the taxpayer. You, the taxpayer, because remember I told you about the mythical 400,000 people that have been coming in across the border? So, like, let's say half of them are adults. So let's say we've brought in a net 200,000 illegal immigrants into the country. They're working. They're going to get they're breaking into the country to go to work. I mean, I'm being honest with you. By and large, are you going to have some people that want to be involved in cartel stuff or whatever? That's a certain number. But by and large, people come to the United States to work. They do. It's hard to get like free welfare stuff all the time. So they're coming into work. So they're going to go work at the chicken processing place or at the construction site or the landscaping company. They're going to do manual labor. And because they're not authorized to be in the country, they're going to undercut your wages. So as long as Biden is subsidizing nobody working, you got it made. You're not going to get burned until Biden pulls that money back. But he's not going to be able to do it. Just go back to the crisis in 2010 and 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. Remember all those times they were trying to lift the unemployment money and be like, well, no, we want 150 weeks of unemployment. You know, that's 3 years, right? Like, you know, the meltdown was like 4 years ago. Why aren't you going out and working? It's a huge problem. Dean is up next. Hello, Dean. What's on your mind?
Hey, you brought up that thing about average making $31 an hour or something.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the only thing is, and I'm not arguing with you, but just for the validity of it, I mean, if you take 100 people making $10 an hour mm-hmm. and then throw in two people making $400 an hour, uh-huh. doesn't it sort of skew the whole thing?
Well, it's an average, right? I mean, it's an average. So it's not a mean, it's an average. So you are taking all the numbers. You're taking LeBron James and you're taking the kid delivering pizza. Okay?
So,
yes.
So, hello?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So $30 is, I mean, it depends on what point you're trying to make. I mean, it's sort of the average is meaningless. The mean is, you know, what really counts in all of this.
Well, I think if you're looking at average hourly earnings, okay, average hourly earnings, more people are earning Did he hang up on me? Okay.
No, I would never do that.
So here's the deal. More people are making above minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Minimum wage is a starting wage, and it's not designed to raise a family on. And so with the economy being in the strait that it is in now, where labor is in demand, this is the chance to make more money and get hired at a better wage. And that's the reality. So, yeah, you can argue it skews, but at the same time, there is opportunity in this economy because you have something like 7 million unfilled jobs in the economy right now. 7 million open jobs.
Can I just ask a question? And seriously, because I've heard this over and over about the minimum wage not being meant to, you know, to raise a family.
That's
or
right.
To exist on.
Right.
But I mean, there's that's fine. You know, I mean, if in the land of the free, if you're capable of excelling to higher standards, but a lot of people, due to a multitude of issues, have to live on the minimum wage.
Okay.
You know, not by choice, but by, so why shouldn't it be sufficient to support them?
Well, because it's a minimum wage. It's a minimum wage. That's why it's you're looking for a living wage, and that's a different debate. So what would you set the living wage at? $28 an hour?
No. I mean,
so what would you set it at? Because it's a minimum wage. It's a minimum legal wage.
No, I wasn't debating with you on what to set it at. I was debating it.
Right. So it's a minimum. Right. It's a minimum wage.
Okay. A minimum wage to what?
It's a minimum that you can legally pay somebody. In fact, actually, that's not entirely true because people that are working as wait staff can get paid mm-hmm. on tips, right? Mm-hmm. So, look, I've enjoyed the conversation. I think what you're looking to do, though, is you may want to reach out there and find out what you could do for a living wage. And you may want to start about $25, $35, $75 an hour. And then AOC and the rest of the folks that want universal basic income.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
income will be satisfied. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, hour number two underway. Thrilled to be here with you. Our phone number, we are fully interactive this hour. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. On Twitter at Winterbull Show, that's Winter B-L-E Show. And, of course, the Brett Winterbull Show on the Facebook page. I gotta put an email out at some point, TJ. I don't mean send an email. I mean put an email address out where people can reach me. I'm just trying to figure out which one I want to use, and then, you know, we'll deploy it at the appropriate time. It won't be happening today, don't worry. But it is great to be here with you. Happy to be spending this time with you. And a lot of other stuff moving out there. Folks in South Carolina. South Carolina Senate rejects constitutional carry, passes open carry with requirements. Now, I know some of my Second Amendment brothers and sisters in the Palmetto State are going to feel a way about this, and I'm curious to get your thoughts. The Republican-controlled, let me say that again, the Republican-controlled South Carolina Senate yesterday passed a watered-down open carry bill that would allow trained gun owners with a concealed weapons permit to carry their handguns in public view. So let me say that again, so you're following along. It would allow trained gun owners with a concealed weapons permit to carry their handguns in public view, like a holster on your hip. Conservative Republicans in the state Senate attempted to expand the legislation into full-on, quote, constitutional carry bill to let all legal gun owners carry firearms publicly without a permit. But nine Republican senators voted to reject that amendment. The bill that passed on Thursday requires people who have concealed weapons permits to undergo training and background checks to be allowed to carry their handguns openly. Stop right there. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Are they saying in this piece, okay, so you have a concealed weapons permit. You now have to undergo training and a background check to be allowed to carry your handguns openly. So you can carry your handguns concealed because you have a concealed carry permit, but to carry them openly, and I'm guessing you already went through a background check, and I'm guessing you went through training to get a CCW. Am I wrong? So you have to go through additional training to carry openly. The training must include how to properly holster a firearm and de-escalation techniques for hostile situations. Those applying for concealed weapons permits must also fire a minimum of 25 rounds during training. What? I mean, I'm assuming you're going to fire around. I mean, I'm going to assume you're going to fire some rounds. I'm assuming you're going to want to be familiar with your firearm. And I may be mistaken about that, and I don't want to be called out like some kind of a weirdo, but apparently this situation is becoming onerous. I've heard people talk about this, and I've heard people say this feels like it's a precursor to a what they were looking for was a more aggressive red flag, red alert kind of a thing where they're going to be able to come at you for your gun ownership. Now, here's the question I have, okay? I get that a firearm can take a life. I totally understand that. And I totally understand that somebody who's got a concealed carry permit has to take a great deal of responsibility in carrying that firearm. I would argue in many ways, even as much responsibility as if you were open carrying a firearm. I understand that as well. And I understand firearms kill people. Oh, no, people kill people. Well, you know, whatever paradigm you want to buy into. But you have the ability to take a life with a firearm, just like you have the ability to take a life with a car, with a steak knife, with a tuning fork, with a baseball bat, with a fungo bat, with a jackhammer, a sledgehammer. Let's just establish that there are multiple ways you could hurt or kill somebody with a variety of weapons. I mean, a microphone in the wrong hands could be used like a billy club. I've heard those shows. they should be ashamed of themselves. But the fact of the matter is, this idea that now, okay, I have to prove that I'm legitimate to open carry a firearm when maybe I haven't been convicted of drug possession. I haven't been convicted of a felony. I'm not a domestic abuser. I'm not a stalker. I'm none of those things, but I have to prove those things. And at the same time, it does make you wonder, like, how much do you have to prove to be able to use your First Amendment then? Well, can you prove your speech is not going to offend anybody? Can you prove that you know how to de-escalate your speech? Can you prove that your speech will not be used for a lethal purpose? Can you prove that your speech will not be used for, I mean, you could put any kind of test onto anything. But what does this say about South Carolina itself, by the way? Does this change indicate the changing nature of South Carolina? Read New Yorkers and Ohioans and Pennsylvanians and Rhode Islanders and Massachusetts people and Vermont and Illinois. And does this reflect those people coming in and changing the politics of the state? I'm just curious. I'd love to hear from the folks who are in South Carolina. I think it's an incredibly important point. I just think it's interesting that we're supposed to proof or we're supposed to qualify our Second Amendment rights whenever we want to practice practice that God-given right. That right's not granted by Joe Biden or Hunter Biden or Xi Jinping or Vlad Putin or John Brennan or Jim Comey. That's not granted to you by Kamala Harris. It's not granted to you by Fancy Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer. It's granted by God. The sacred right of self-defense is a sacred right of self-defense. I know. Ultimately, I do believe it all comes down to the phobia that progressives feel when it comes to firearms. Firearms scary, unless they're in the hands of the cartel.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Tells and the people who are shooting up neighborhoods, then they're really scary, but we don't want to say anything about it because, you know, we don't want to judge, which is what you get out of people like Lori Lightfoot. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It's just incredible to kind of look at how it is when we have to ask for permission to practice our rights. I just find that to be an incredibly challenging set of circumstances. I want to take this call. He's referencing something from the last hour, and I want to take the phone call. Garrett is up next. Hello, Garrett. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good. Always good to speak to you, as always. I just want to let you know you do an awesome job. Super excited to talk to you today. So we usually, a couple of times I've called in, we've talked about a few Second Amendment things. If it's okay, I kind of want to pivot away from that.
Sure.
And go to, we were speaking earlier about wages increasing, things like that, you know, demand for wages, you know.
Right.
Kind of changing because inflation's going on. You know, we're going to notice a lot of stuff is actually, you know, even such as gas, it's getting more expensive.
It is.
Absolutely. You know, when you go to get groceries, it's more expensive. So I'm actually super excited to bring this up. So Amazon actually has increased its wages for the first time in, I want to say, years. Anyone who's looked up a job there, you know, it's always $15 an hour is just the starting wage. That's between warehouse workers and also drivers.
Right.
So I've actually been anxiously waiting to hear what it was going to be. So we just found out today we're going to get, you know, a pretty decent wage. Well, it's been a while. And so I kind of want to just, I guess my point is, you know, my logistics company I work for is great. You know, my boss is awesome. He cares about us a lot. So we don't work directly for Amazon. We just represent Amazon. But sure. I'm really excited to hear that. But my concern is, you know, I think there's a lot of drivers that kind of think, you know, oh, well, it's, you know, the goodness of Jeff Bezos' heart, you know, so we're going to get a wage. They're starting to see that, you know, our job is not that easy. It can be hard.
Sure.
So I think that's what a lot of drivers are thinking, but this is just my opinion, but my take on it is, I think it's really just, I think Amazon is actually trying to target, like, better applicants and to compete directly with, you know, other carriers and things like that. So, also, there's a lot of hoopla going on down in Alabama, I believe, for a push for union, you know, union
right.
Teams and things like that. So, I think it has a lot to do with it. I don't know what your take on it is, but
well,
I
look,
to give you that information.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy to see that Amazon is going to offer more money to their employees. I think that's a good thing. I think it's important that they do it, you know, as sort of a free will gesture or a business decision to do that. Certainly, they did have a near scare with the attempt to unionize in Alabama. And interestingly enough, you know, Amazon, Jeff Bezos and the Washington Post and Amazon were all about allowing mail-in ballots, but they certainly clamped down hard on the unionization ballots. And it was, you know, a bit of irony. You certainly, if you're going to raise wages, you are going to do two things. One, you will attract more people who want to maybe get involved in working for the company. But what you're also going to do is you're going to likely pass that on to the members of Amazon or the consumers, which, you know, that's I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's a model that has worked and does work. You know, I always kind of point to Costco as a great example of a company that's paying very strong wages. Their union, they pay strong wages to their workers, and they're still incredibly profitable, and they have an incredibly loyal consumer base that shops at the stores nationwide. So look, this is how an economy works. You want to get people to come work for you offer more money, and then you'll get people to come out and work. You know, so I think fundamentally, Garrett, I think it's good all the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I just wanted to relay that information to everyone out there. I think that's pretty cool. I try to be optimistic. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd be happy with a dollar. You know, it's better than what we had. So
without a doubt
about it. So.
Without a doubt, it's good stuff all the way around. Thank you, Garrett, for checking in, and be safe out there. And thanks for all you're doing to helping to keep the economy move. You know, this is a substantial bit of responsibility that people have with them. If everybody decided to not work, we would be in a pickle. We'd be in a tough situation if everybody decided, well, I'm just going to stay home. You know, you can only offer up so much money. And what you're seeing are commodity shortages, right? You're seeing shortages in copper. You're seeing shortages in computer chips, lumber. All of this stuff is ripples through the economy. There's no way to shield from that. The only people that have that ability to shield are the people in government. Because it's not their money, right? But they will decide how it is that it ought to be spent and how it ought to be deployed in line with the politics of the moment. A majority of congressional aides do not believe that Nancy Pelosi's socialist dream is going to pass. All this stuff that she's been pushing through, well, Pelosi's push to pass a partisan socialist agenda while Washington, D.C. is under one-party rule is looking like it's going to fail, according to the gatekeepers and, in many cases, the decision makers. They believe that there will not be enough votes to get her wish list through. Only 36% of the Democrat staffers surveyed believe there is hope to pass H.R. 3, which is the big bill to lower drug costs. When the bill was introduced last session in the Congress, Pelosi said the bill would level the playing field for American patients and taxpayers. It's part of the, quote, for the people agenda. I know that there are people who refer to it as the FTP agenda, the F the people agenda, for the people agenda, free the people, for the peeps. I mean, you know, all that. You've got all kinds of names for this thing, but it is stuff that does appear to be flirting with socialism. Some disagree with Pelosi. In exchange for some short-term price reductions, the bill will drastically damage innovative companies around our economy, right? These are the folks that are always vilified. You know, the drug makers are always vilified. Nancy Pelosi did not cook up the COVID-19 vaccine in her Sub-Zero refrigerators stocked to the gills with ice cream. No. Those were drug companies. The same drug companies that Bernie and AOC and the Squad and Chuck and Nancy and the whole lot of them have vilified for the better part of 20 years. It's just not going to work out that way. In addition, there are other challenges, including their desire, their late night fever dream to figure out how it is they can send Beto to your house to take your weapon, either buy it from you or seize it. Doesn't look like that's going to move in that direction either. We got details on that straight ahead, plus your phone calls as well, 704-570-1110. I'm Brett Winterble, News Talk 1110. 99.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
93 WBT. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. Okay, I get it that this traffic is backed up. I'm broadcasting live from the Freedom Studios today, but I get that the traffic's backed up. Has nobody proposed a tunnel? I'm a problem solver. Can we put a tunnel under the Catawba River? And don't say to me, well, it'll collapse because the weight of the river is going to... You can go deep down. You can go deep down. And come on now. This goes on. This is right outside. You have this outside of Norfolk in Virginia, right? Because you have all those huge Navy ships that come back and forth. You can't put bridges over that. Why can't we put... I want more tunnels. That's my platform for the coming year. I'm not running for anything. But my platform on the radio show, I'm going to advocate for tunnels everywhere. Let's just tunnel. And I know I'm going to get pushback because I have complained in the past about the idea of this, the light rail and all that kind of stuff. And I've said, you're going to disrupt neighborhoods. But if you're tunneling, you're just going under. You just go whoop right underneath. Nobody even knows you're down there. Just be sure where you're digging. Be sure you call that. What's that phone number you always make you call? Make sure you don't hit wires. But I think as deep as the tunnel would be. There's no wires down there. There may be treasure, though. And I'm all about the treasure. Let me take a phone call here real quick. Steve, welcome to the program. Steve, what's on your mind today, sir?
Hello?
Hello, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah.
You're on the air.
I'm a small business owner, a resident of South Carolina, but I have a small business in Charlotte.
Right on.
And you were talking about the CWP in South Carolina, You're already required to have 5 hours of classroom training, a test, and you have to shoot from your holster during the shooting part of the test and hit a certain amount of passing ground.
Right.
So I don't understand why we need additional training to open carry.
I'm with you 100% on that, because to get a concealed carry permit by default, pretty much any place in the country, there are stringent requirements, right? You want to make sure people are trustworthy. They're not felons. They're not domestic abusers. They know how to fire the weapon. They know how to load and reload the weapon and things like that. So, I mean, we know as a rule the way this is supposed to work, right? Now, to do this. To say if you have a concealed carry and now you want to open carry, we're going to make you go through all those background checks again. That to me is punitive, and I think it's excessive. I mean, it's you ought to be able to get both certifications at the same time.
I conceal carry every day from South Carolina into North Carolina. I observe the North Carolina rules.
Sure.
But like I say, there are a lot of states that you can get your concealed carry online, or it's only a 30-minute class.
Right. Right.
I like what I did in South Carolina and having very extensive classroom session and a test and then a shooting test.
Right.
And feel very proficient handling my weapon.
I applaud you for that. But the question becomes, what is it that's going on in Colombia that is causing this kind of... You had nine senators, bail out on the universal open carry. That tells me that there's a changing political environment in Colombia, and is it the influx? I mean, I'm new to the area. You know, I moved here, but I didn't bring with me crazy, screwy, wacky socialist ideas from California. I mean, I never had those anyways. That's why I got out. But I just wonder if this is just the state changing because of the influx of people who, you know, there's a lot of people that are afraid of guns and they don't want to own a gun and they don't want you to own a gun. They're frightened of them. And I think that's a shame because they're just lacking the literacy of what a firearm is and does.
Well, and I agree. And I think open carry across the board, there's a lot of people you say that are afraid of guns. And I think it would scare them to see people walking around with open guns.
I agree. And certainly, look, there are environments that would make you more nervous than others. Like, you wouldn't want to see that in a bar. You wouldn't want to see that in a church. That might throw you, make you nervous in a church or a house of worship or a school, right? I mean, I understand that there are environments where that would be more nerve-wracking. But the idea that here's what I think the fundamental problem is, Steve, because you're a concealed carry permit. You have your concealed carry. And
correct.
I think... I don't know what your age is, but I'm going to guess we're relatively close in age. So I remember when I was a kid and I went to school, you learned how to do CPR, how to put a bandage on your friend if he was bleeding, how to treat somebody who was having a heart attack, you know, CPR, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Many schools have as part of their curriculum, you learn to swim, right? You safety protocols. I think the number one thing we could do to save lives in America is to instruct, and I'm not talking about bringing live fire into the school, but kids should be exposed to what these are to demystify it, because that's when the kids are going to get hurt or killed, because it's exotic or scary or dangerous. I believe more information is better. If we can teach, if people can go and teach kids a lot of stuff that's pretty freaky deaky, and you know what I'm talking about, then we ought to be able to teach firearm safety and responsible gun ownership and demystify it and get people away from being so phobic about it.
I agree. I also had one other topic you spoke about earlier.
Go ahead, please. Please.
About the unemployment.
Yes, sir.
I own a small business in Charlotte related to the construction industry.
Gotcha.
And obviously we're growing. Construction and new housing is gone berserk. I've been trying to hire people. I've run 5 ads in the last 5 weeks.
Wow.
On Indeed, you can invite people to... apply for your position. And in 5 weeks, 5 ads, I've got 2 people that called me back, and then they didn't even show up when we...
Wow. Wow.
And we're talking about in the $15 to $18 pay range.
Sure. That's a great wage. That's a great wage. And you're having to also absorb those costs when it comes to lumber and supplies and things like that have gone through the roof. So... Are you pointing to all this federal money that's sloshing around that's keeping people from coming to see you?
The extra $300 in unemployment is exactly why people, and they've even told me when I talked to them on the phone, well, you know, I make more sitting at home than I am going to work. I'll wait for my benefits to run out.
Right. And you know what's going to happen? What's going to end up happening, Steve, is they're going to call you October 1st when the bennies run out. And they're going to say, hey, I'm ready to work. That's what's going to happen.
Well, I agree with McMaster in South Carolina. It's going to end it in June. And
absolutely.
I might get some employees coming up out of South Carolina.
Oh, I think you will. I think you will. Definitely think you will. You're going to have a whole new crew of kids graduating here in a couple of weeks from high school. I think you're going to have some folks that are going to be interested. I appreciate you being a good sport and a great call, Steve, and I would invite you to call back anytime.
Thank you very much.
All the best, my friend. That's Steve. And here he is. He's a legal gun owner. He concealed carries. He's responsible. He's a business owner, and he's trying to staff up. It's a tricky situation. We're taking your phone calls on all of this straight ahead.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. I can't believe this hour is almost done. It's incredible. I got to get some calls in here because the peeps want to talk. And I want to talk to the people. Voice of the people, don't you know? Let me jump out and speak with David. David, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today, sir?
Yeah, hi. First thing is, the Second Amendment should be nationwide.
Yes.
The First Amendment is nationwide.
Yes.
You know, there's no difference, or, well, theoretically,
sure,
between the First Amendment in North Carolina and the First Amendment in Oregon.
Right. Right.
But we do. Go ahead.
No, no, you're right. I'm agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the other is, you ask about, you know, why the what's happening with South Carolina, and mm-hmm. same thing, what's happening around here in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a lot of Yankees moving down, and they're bringing their politics with them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, I agree with you, and I haven't been here for a long time, but I think it's a generational thing. I think it's the younger woke hipster types that are moving down here because New York became scary and awful, and these lockdown states became scary and awful. And these are people who are changing the voting dynamic, and many of them don't want to own firearms. But the one thing I will say about this that I think is the bright spot, and it doesn't get reported because there's no benefit for the news reporting this. You know, you remember in the ugliest part of the lockdown, you know, last March, right? March, April, people were lined up around the block at Hyatt, over at Blackstone, to buy firearms. You couldn't get near a Cabela's. I mean, you couldn't get near to buy a firearm. I think the number I saw was 20 or 30 million new gun owners.
Yeah,
picked up the right during the pandemic, and I think that's a good thing because there's more people defending the Second Amendment now.
Yeah, it's a good thing, and that shows that people are voting with their feet.
That's right.
It's absolutely true. But the problem is, and this mm-hmm. is the problem with most liberals,
mm-hmm.
it's rules for thee and not for me.
That's exactly right.
They'll go get a gun, mm-hmm. but by God, they don't want you to have one.
Oh yeah. Oh, 100%. Look, I came from a terrible place that is mismanaged beyond belief. And, you know, they have the standard of may issue. And what that means is David decides to go to the sheriff and say, I want a concealed carry permit. And that sheriff gets to say, why do you need it? And you say, personal protection. You will be declined 100 times out of 100 times. The only people that were able to get firearm concealed carry permits back at that other place were people who were traveling with large amounts of cash. You were a food truck owner or a jeweler, and you had to do deposits at night. You could get a concealed carry, but only if you turned in your financial records to the freaking sheriff to look at. Can you even believe this? And so it's chaotic. Do you know one of the only people that has a concealed carry permit in all of San Francisco? Do you know who it is?
Nancy Pelosi.
It's Dianne Feinstein.
Dianne Feinstein.
The biggest gun grabber.
same demo anyway.
Yes.
But the other thing, hasn't the Supreme Court taken a Second Amendment case from New York where
yes.
To get a concealed carry in New York is almost impossible unless you're a celebrity.
That's right.
Somebody that would be, you know, that would be subject to attack or needs a bodyguard or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if you remember Plaxico Burress. You know,
he was
the guy that had a concealed. Yeah, he was the guy that shot himself in the leg.
He had he had the gun in his waistband of his sweatpants.
Yeah, and it was, okay, he's got a permit, but
yes,
normal New Yorker can't get it, which it goes back to my point.
That's right.
Second, I hope that they eventually will take a case that will mm-hmm. make the Second Amendment nationwide.
Yep.
That
it's
the same as the First Amendment.
What is it?
If my driver's license is good in Virginia, mm-hmm. what is that called?
Reciprocity. Reciprocity.
Reciprocity, but it's the full faith. That's right, full faith and credit clause in mm-hmm. the Constitution. Full faith, and if they ever bring a case, and if the Supreme Court has the guts enough, full faith and credit clause ought to apply to the Second Amendment, like it does a driver's license or a marriage license.
Agreed. 100%, I agree with you on that. It's a great point. And look, I would encourage everybody who comes to this beautiful part of the country to respect the traditions, the culture, and the freedom that is present here, because it is really only two elections away, or one election away, from losing that. And where are you going to go next?
So, that's where I'm afraid of.
I hear you,
going
David.
Going to Florida.
Yes. All right, man. I appreciate you being out there. Stay safe while you're driving around, man. That's David checking in. Let's go to Doug. Hello, Doug. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brett. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for calling.
I'm going to piggyback off the call that you just had.
Sure.
Because here's the question I have for you. Since the Bill of Rights is what gives us the right to carry.
Right.
I'm assuming that a state cannot make restrictions, because those Bill of Rights are federal rights. They override all state rules.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
In theory, yes.
Okay, I hate when you say that. Man, that bugs me.
Well, no, but I mean, because that's
supposed to run.
No, that is how it's supposed to run, but states do restrict gun ownership. I mean, right. They do, and that's a fact.
So here's the reason why I'm asking that question.
Yeah.
I am a concealed carrier in North Carolina.
Sure.
My family and I are getting ready to travel back to New York to see family.
Right.
Do I take the risk of bringing mine with me?
Man.
Because if something happens and I don't have it, I'm going to hate myself.
Yeah.
But if I have it and get pulled over, I might not be coming home.
Well, so here's the thing. I mean, I'm going to always encourage people to follow the laws in wherever they apply.
Right.
And so, like, for example, the question that sets itself up is, okay, if you got pulled over, is there going to be cause for the police to search your vehicle? Now, that's a question only you can answer. And what kind of a vehicle are you driving? Are you driving an RV? Are you pulling a trailer? Are you, you know, whatever you're doing? And so my default position is to always respect the laws, because it's important. And man, they would love to make an example out of a guy from North Carolina in a city like New York. They would love that opportunity.
And not only that, but a preacher, too.
Oh, there you go. You're doomed, my friend. I mean, God bless you, but you're doomed.
I'm not going to lie to him.
No, that's the truth. Well, listen, I think you just got to pray on it and figure out how it is you want to approach it. Doug, great call. A great hour of calls. Another great hour straight ahead. I'm Brett Whittable News.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Talk 1110. It is the Brett Whittable Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. So we've been talking about the economy. We've been talking about your Second Amendment rights. We've been talking about the things that matter. So I take a little survey from the different cable channels, and I come across the now infamous brand called MSNBC, or as I call them, Messy NBC. This is what they have as their breaking news ticker. This is their breaking news. So if it's breaking news, it should be something that's happening right now, and we're trying to figure it out. Breaking news. GOP's embrace of Trumpism threatens democracy. This is why nobody watches that channel. And I'm sorry, maybe you're watching it, but I will only sample occasionally these different cable channels. I do not understand. That is breaking news. Trumpism endangers American democracy. How? Why? Last I checked, there will be elections in 553 days or whatever it is. Okay? There is elections are coming. We will vote. We will abide by the results and live our lives. These people, I'm going to tell you something about these people. These are the people that you think three or four times about inviting to your house, because you know they're going to show up angry or mopey, and they're going to bring the whole vibe down because everything's politics. Let me give you an example of this real quick from an area that's not here. Seattle Children's Soccer League president calls cops on parents who refuse to wear masks outside, comma, permanently bans their children from the league. Talk about visiting the sins of the father upon the child. The president of a Seattle area's children's soccer league reportedly harassed and called the police on parents who refused to wear masks outdoors while watching their kids play. According to a news outlet, the family was stopped upon arrival at the park in King County and was told by West Seattle Soccer Club League president Chip Goss. That man, does that sound like a guy who's the president of a soccer league? That's a soccer league president kind of name. Yeah, nice to have you here. I'm the West Seattle Soccer Club League president. My name's Chip Goss. He informed the parents that only one parent could enter with one child, despite other families reportedly entering the area together. Goss eventually agreed to let the family enter the park on the condition that they watch the games from behind a nearby baseball diamond away from the soccer field and other spectators. The family agreed, but upon seeing other large family units present at the park, many of them not wearing masks, they decided to move a little closer to watch the game from inside. Hey, TJ, they watched it from inside the dugout of the baseball diamond, where no other families were present. No good. Goss spotted the family sitting together and approached them. That's when an exchange ensued. According to the parent who was filmed the video, I'm not going to play the video for you, the soccer league president called the police on him for not wearing a mask and then kicked the children out of the league, even though many other participants were not wearing masks. He admitted the party size rules that he was attempting to enforce were not being followed by others. He admitted that. At the same point, he pivoted to arguing that the family's failure to wear masks was the issue. Mask wearing does not appear to be a requirement within the parks in Seattle. The county website says that wearing a face mask is strongly urged. The league, on the other hand, says that they're complying with state and local ordinances, but they don't know which ones those would be. Goss reportedly approached the family after the game and informed them he had removed the two children from the league and was permanently banning them from future participation. The family said it made them feel like subhuman, like he was treating them like criminals for wanting to watch their daughter play soccer. And the rules weren't even closely followed for anyone else. They were obviously discriminated against and embarrassed that he was yelling at them in front of other adults. Our children are devastated, waiting to play for 18 months. My one son got 3 games and daughter got 2. Now we're kicked out of the community permanently. This right here, you understand what this is, right? This right here is the basis for the irrational nature of the progressive left. Think about the people who are wearing the 3 and 4 masks outside. I mean, you watched Kamala Harris kiss her husband through the masks on the tarmac. They live together. They live in the same home. They share the same eating utensils, showers, I'm assuming, all that sort of stuff. And they had a kiss with a mask on. It's because there's a group of people in our country for whom the mask represents their entire reason for existence. And I understand that there's phobia. I get it. There are people who are germophobes, even under ideal circumstances. I understand that there are people who are really afraid of the coronavirus and who have pre-existing conditions that could kill them. I get it. But they're not little kids like this. And the little kids staying with the parents who are in the family unit together, I don't understand what this is. And frankly, to be honest with you, I'm surprised that Seattle even has a soccer league, because my understanding is you have homeless people having taken over all the sports fields over in Seattle. See, this, ladies and gentlemen, this is what you get when you accommodate the CHOP or the CHAZ, right? The no-go zones. This guy decides he's going to be in charge of the no-go zone. You know what I would say if I was the father? I'd say, no. I've ejected you from the league. You're out of it. I'm asserting my parental rights to you are no longer recognized in charge of the league. And you have no more power. And I'm coming to your house tonight and you better have your things cleared out and move on down the road. I would just assert all kinds of power myself. That's how you handle crazy people like that. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. This is a problem. This is a psychological phenomenon these people have started to adhere to. And I said it on the Rush Limbaugh show, and I'll say it here again. I believe the masks have become for the left what the MAGA hats were for the Trump supporters. They're going to wear these masks for the next 4 years if they have to make the point.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. Great to be here with you. Coming up, we're going to have Bo Thompson come by in this next segment. We're also going to get a preview of Charlotte at 6. I am going to be Charlotte at 6 tonight. I mean, I'm not going to be Charlotte. I'm going to be Brett hosting for Mark Garrison on Charlotte at 6. I'm just getting choked up thinking about it. And so we will be taking phone calls all the way until 7 o'clock and talking about all the issues that are important, especially pivoting into some of the education stuff with CMS. Brett Jensen's going to join us in the next hour to go over some of the stuff that we're seeing from Dina DiIorio, all that. Straight ahead, it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be amazing. And we're looking forward to it in a big way. I want to completely depart from some of the stuff we've been talking about. I want to take you back in time. And this is merely like a historical moment in history that many people don't know about, but I think it's interesting given the current divide in the country. You know, in this country, we're divided, right? We hear this all the time from people, we're divided. And so back just a couple of days ago, the 4th of May was the anniversary of the shooting of the students, the killing of the students at Kent State at the protest that took place. And at that time, the students were protesting against the U.S. invasion of Cambodia. And you had all that stuff happening. Well, something very interesting happened. And it's interesting only from the historical standpoint. May 8th, 1970. So tomorrow will be the 51st anniversary of this. And it's not something that's really been talked about. And I've never even seen it in a movie. I just think it's an interesting phenomenon. It's called the Hard Hat Riot. And it happened in New York City. The riot broke out near the intersection of Wall Street and Broad Street in Lower Manhattan and led to a mob scene with more than 20,000 people in the streets, eventually leading to a siege at New York City Hall, an attack on the conservative Pace University, which is a business college, and lasted more than 3 hours. 100 people, including 7 cops, were injured on what became known as Bloody Friday. 6 people were arrested, but only one of them was a construction worker. See, what had happened was you had about 400 construction workers, 800 office workers, squaring off with 1,000 demonstrators protesting the war in Southeast Asia. And so on May 4th, 1970, 13 students were shot, 4 of them fatally at Kent State University. National Guardsmen pulled those triggers. You know that song from Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. The U.S. labor movement was very divided over Vietnam. The AFL-CIO president at the time, George Meany, and most of the leaders of the U.S. were vehemently anti-communist and supported the U.S. military there in Vietnam. Well, what happens is the president of the Building and Construction Trades Council of New York was a strong supporter of Nixon's policy over in Southeast Asia. He was a Democrat who lobbied strongly for Democrats through the 50s and 1960s, but increasingly supported Republican candidates as support for skilled union labor decreased. The building and construction unions were overwhelmingly white, Catholic, and male. Although blue-collar whites were generally not more pro-war than upscale whites, the anti-war movement was particularly unpopular among those blue-collar whites. In response to a flag desecration because you had a number of issues take place during this, what would become the riot. You had a flag desecration take place. You ended up with people very angry at the scene. At 7:30 in the morning on May 8th, several hundred anti-war protesters, mostly college students, began picketing outside the New York Stock Exchange. They held a protest and memorial at Federal Hall, National Memorial, for the four dead students at Kent State. By late morning, some high school students and teachers and others joined the protests. They came down into New York City. The protesters demanded an end to the war in Vietnam and Cambodia, the release of political prisoners, like the Black Panther Party leaders, Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, and an end to military-related research on all college campuses. Right before noon on that day, you had 400 construction workers, many of whom were building the World Trade Center, converged at the student rally and were carrying American flags, chanting USA all the way, America love it or leave it. Anti-war protesters shouted peace now. More than 800 workers soon joined the construction workers' ranks. Hundreds more construction workers arrived around noon. The crowd exceeded 20,000 people. You only had a very small group of police there to try to keep the sides separated. And what would end up happening is you would end up having a situation wherein American flags were burned, and that set off many of the construction workers and the counter protesters who started marching towards City Hall, pushing their way all the way to the top of City Hall, chanting, hey, hey, what do you say? We support the USA. Some held American flags and tried to gain entrance into City Hall. They wanted to take a flag that was at half staff and put it up to full staff. And so as a consequence, you ended up with a riotous situation in downtown New York City at the intersection of Wall and Broad and right over to City Hall. This is all about where the World Trade Center was standing and the Freedom Tower now stands today. And this battle went on for hours. This battle went on for hours and became known as the Hard Hat Riot that took place 51 years ago tomorrow. And I think it's an interesting parallel to the times in which we now live, where you see a great deal of disruption and a whole lot of drama between the sides. That's a little tour into history.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It is the Brett Winterble Show, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. It is that time when we cross the streams, and catch up with our good friend Bo Thompson, who's just been doing terrific work this week, and appreciate you being here, my man.
Happy Friday, back at you.
Happy Friday to you as well. It is terrific to be here, spending this time with you. We got the jobs number. You and I were talking about it. We were chewing this over earlier in the day, and we thought it was going to be like I thought it was going to be closer to a million, maybe a little bit more than that. It was 266,000. How are we feeling about this? I mean, certainly there's a lot of energy out there to reopen. I think people want to work. A lot of people want to work, but this jobs number is just kind of ugly.
Well, I was looking around because one of the things you and I were talking about upon getting this news, and when we talked last, it was about 3 minutes old.
Right.
We wondered what President Trump would have to say about it. I have gone to his spot on the website where he's posting things now, and I don't see anything about it. Have you?
No, I have not seen anything from him. I don't think I got to check my Telegram, but I don't think I've seen him make a statement on Telegram either, where he sometimes he'll put much more aggressive stuff on Telegram than he will on the on his website.
Oh, but, I thought you were going John Moore on me for a second with your bag phone and your actual real old time Telegram.
Hold on a second. Wait. I want to make you laugh, Bo, because you and I are junkies for like live breaking news stuff, right? Uh-huh. I mean, we love that kind of stuff. TJ, give me cut 33. This is how it sounded when they did the reveal on CNBC this morning. They don't believe the number. There's shock from Steve Leisman, who's trying to report this out. TJ, cut 33. Go.
Rick, we'll get to you. I don't want to. Let's get to Steve because he's got the number. It's okay. Good. 1.08. Steve, the number.
Wow! It just came across. Give me a second here. We have the number here. just came across. sorry about Rich that. It came across Rich. Very quickly here. It looks like 266,000. It looks like it was a big disappointment at 266, but maybe I have that wrong. Let me double check the Bureau website here. 1 second. Yes, 266 is correct. Unemployment change, little change, is 6.1%. So we have some issues here.
266,000.
Long-term unemployed.
Big revision.
Yes, that's what I'm...
Last month, 770 versus 916. Yes. Minus...
Rick, so there you go. There you go. It's like, let me double check. This number is crazy.
What is that, Ben Stein's classroom? I mean, wow. I mean, come on. You and I come from the school of breaking news, and not only breaking news, but let's give it a little presentation and showmanship here. That sounded like you and I were sitting in an airport terminal, yeah. And we were the only people there and just having a casual conversation.
I know. You have one job, right? Is that the old adage? You got one job.
And that's network there, or that is cable network.
That is. And they were. He's like, let me double check. I don't know if this is right. I mean, it just goes to show how invested in this so many people were. And the little thing at the end there, when he says, hey, they also revised last month's down. It was 900,000. Now it's only 700,000. We're going the wrong direction. I mean, this is a problem.
And I asked what President Trump might have had to say about it. And like you and I said together, we haven't seen anything anywhere yet. I'm sure it will come. But I saw some of what President Biden said out on the quote-unquote campaign trail today, and
yes, sir.
The more I think about it, the more that this diverts attention back to the COVID recovery and away from the border crisis. And you and I talked several days ago about how Biden came in thinking he was going to lead the COVID recovery tour, and it's turned into answering questions over the border. For Biden, this allows him to further legitimize his trek across the country right now. And I'm not saying he wanted those numbers to be bad today, but it certainly allows him to maneuver in the direction away from a story that has been nipping at his heels.
You are right. And by the way, as a quick cursory look at some of the stuff that the president's been putting out on his Telegram feed, it's been shots at Liz Cheney, and then basically relitigating the recount stuff and the numbers. So he has not put anything out in terms of these numbers. My guess is if it had been a blockbuster, he might have said something. But with it coming up short like this, one good piece of news is got to be that they won't be raising interest rates anytime soon, I guess, because you'd really blow up the economy.
Well, I'm looking right now as I speak to you at his. From the desk of Donald J. Trump spot on his website, and the latest posting was about 1:41 today, and it's talking about Josh Hawley's new book.
Yeah, so there you go. He's off onto some other stuff as a fact. All right, I'm gonna debut a little feature inside the feature with you, Bo Thompson, because you and I talk about all the hard edge news stuff when we get together and the news of the day. But I want to do this, and I'm gonna pivot over to this very quickly. You are a well known devotee, and I'm a big fan as well of the 1980s, the culture, the music, all of that stuff. Right? I mean, fair enough to say. So here's the question I have for you. I'm going to have three questions. They're all sort of in the same vein, and I'm just curious to get your answer. If you could go back to the 1980s to a particular event, now I don't know what the event would be. It could be sports, music, cultural, whatever, and you could go and witness it, what would you choose to go back and see?
Wow. Well, I think it probably would come down to two sporting events.
Sure.
And it would probably either be when the Atlanta Braves in 1982 won the National League Western Division title, and that was Dale Murphy's MVP year. Or it would be to be in Albuquerque in 1983 when NC State won the national championship with Jim Valvano.
Wow. That's epic. I'm not going to lie to you. That's epic.
Well, the first one is more, I mean, Dale Murphy was my first sports hero, and that was the first team that I ever latched onto, that 1982 team. And that's not the most successful Braves team of all time, but it's the team that I can name every single player and even backup player. And I just, that was what made me fall in love with baseball, to be honest with you. But then my father went to NC State. I went to Jim Valvano basketball camp when I was a kid. I mean,
sure.
That 1983 shot where they won the national championship and legitimately
yep.
shocked the world.
Yep.
If I could have been there to see that, I would have to say 19. I don't know which. It was March of 1980 or maybe April of 1983, but that would be the moment, I think.
See, mine pales by comparison. Mine is minor. I would go do it in person. I would have attended, and that would be the Wimbledon portion of Live Aid, the British half of the Live Aid concert. I think I would have gone to that.
Yeah, and that's a great answer, and I could go down
Wembley. I'm sorry, not Wimbledon. Wembley. I'm stupid, but yes, that's I would go to that.
I didn't know where that was going. I said, I didn't know you were a tennis fan. I'm a tennis fan, but we've never talked about that. But yeah. No, I could think of music events, too. I mean, this is one of those questions where
sure.
I'm thinking with 30 seconds to...
Well, this is good. See,
come up with 8 different categories.
This is good. We're just going to take whatever the first answer comes. That's how we do it. Ready? Favorite movie from the 80s?
Back to the Future.
Very good choice. I would say Breakfast Club.
Good choice.
You know, that's what am I saying here? And neither one of us said Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That says something about us.
I love Ferris Bueller, but that's not my favorite.
Okay. If you could go back for a political event in the 1980s, what would you have gone back to?
Oh man, see, that's one that should be right off based on what you and I talk about all day.
Yeah.
My goodness.
You could have tear down this wall. You could have.
You could have.
Any of it.
Reagan's speech at the 1984 RNC. I mean.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Mm.
I'll be honest with you, though. If I have to go to political speeches that I'd like to see.
Yeah.
It crosses over into 92 for me because that speech
sure.
that Reagan made, his last public speech at the 92 convention, and I know I'm breaking your rules by going.
No, it's okay. That's a product of the. It's a product of the.
And kind of a culmination. I'm always fascinated, and not just on both sides of the aisle. I mean, political moments where it's the end of an era, that always fascinates me. And the great thing is that YouTube now exists, so you can go back and watch those moments, not as part of a documentary, but you can actually watch it as it happened, in the context of the coverage. So I do that sometimes.
I would go, you're not going to think this is political, but it is political. I would go to the semifinal game, Miracle on Ice, Lake Placid, 1980, U.S. defeats the Soviets.
Oh, yeah. And those two that we named,
yep.
I mean, 1980 in Lake Placid and 1983 in Albuquerque.
Yep.
I mean, two of the, you can get arguments all day, but I would put those on the Mount Rushmore of all-time unexpected, Cinderella story comebacks.
Without a doubt, and the fact of the matter is the other one that would be up there on the Mount Rushmore would be October 17th, 2004. That would be the night that the Red Sox turned the curse.
Was that the Bloody Sock night?
That was not the Bloody Sock. That was the fourth game four. They were going to be eliminated, and they started the climb back.
You know exactly how that was going to end, but now that you go back and watch that, that's the pivotal game.
Dave Roberts steals the base. Big Poppy, here we go. That was
well,
pretty
and cool. Look, if we're going...
Yes.
I could also mention 1992 when Sid Bream came around and the Braves won the pennant.
Yes,
against the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, with me, baseball is always the Braves.
That's awesome.
But the Yankees and the Red Sox. I mean, that's the 30 for 30 on that. I'm sure you've seen it. I think
four
days in October.
Oh yeah,
just great stuff. And there's a 30 for 30 about what I said, which is called Survive in Advance. Another highly recommended.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
About NC State in 1983.
That's a huge one. That's outstanding. Bo Thompson, you got anything you want to share with the class for coming up next week?
Yeah, I can tell you who my co-hosts are going to be next week, 9 to 10. I announced that this morning. Monday, we'll begin with Larry Sprinkle
of Very cool.
WCNC, who may be the most recognizable media personality in North Carolina. I think I don't think people would argue me much on that point when you think about all that he's done. But here's the thing, Brett. Larry Sprinkle's like John Madden in the sense that there's a generation that knows John Madden as a Hall of Fame coach.
Yep.
There's a generation that knows him as a commentator with Pat Summerall on TV. That's really mine coming up in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then there's a generation now that thinks he's just a guy who's part of a video game.
That's right. That's right.
Larry Sprinkle has been one of the weathercasters for WCNC NBC Charlotte for, I don't know, 25 years. But
yep.
Before that, he was a radio institution in the 70s and early 80s on WROQ and what used to be called, actually what WFNZ was back then was a station called Big Ways, WAYS. Larry Sprinkle, one of the most talented radio people I've ever known, and I'm looking forward to having him for an hour in the studio on Monday. We got Mark Garrison on Tuesday, Jesse Kelly on Wednesday, Frank Garcia breaking down the Panthers' schedule, which will be released on Wednesday night on Thursday, and then my old friend from WCCB, Ashley Anderson, a week from today. So
outstanding. Looking forward to it. Bo Thompson.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Have a wonderful weekend, my man. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. Coming up just after 6 will be Charlotte at 6. Brett Witterbull in for Mark Garrison. Brett, welcome to the show. Hey, great job, Brett. It's been a great show today. I've been very impressed with the breadth of topics, and that was really great that you had with Bo Thompson diving a little deeper into what it is you guys like. Well, listen, I appreciate that. So, what do you got coming up on the show this afternoon, starting after 6? Well, we're going to look into this CMS situation. CMS lost, according to Brett Jensen's reporting and tweeting out last night, CMS lost as many as 7,000 students. Now, Meck County is withholding $56 million from CMS over low-performing schools. Really? Yeah, it's an incredible thing. $56 million is going to mean a lot of money, and they have to account for where those 7,000 kids are. Do you think they'll be able to find them? I don't know. I don't know, but it's going to be tricky. We're going to be speaking with Brett Jensen coming up after the top of the hour and certainly dive into that. A number of the other big stories out there. I know Brett has been he's been out at Wells Fargo today, and we'll get updates from him on that as well. What else you got coming up? Well, also what we got coming up is we'll take some phone calls during the hour. I know typically we don't have that at Charlotte at 6, but there's a lot of pieces that can be picked up from across the day. Well, that sounds like a great program. No Dirty Restaurant Friday or News Quiz or anything like that? Nah, you know, Mark does such a great job with that. I can't even approach it. So we're going to keep it straight up, and we'll just keep talking. That's Brett Witterbull coming up next on Charlotte at 6. I am Brett Witterbull. It's been wonderful to be here with you today. Join me on Monday starting at 3. Charlotte at 6 is up next. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.